Welcome to the crossover. I'm so glad you could join me. This is the first time I'm doing this, so I want to welcome you into my podcast. I'm so glad you could make time and, you know, maybe learn something, maybe have a laugh,
maybe get something out of what I'm doing.
And we're going to talk some sports, some interscholastic activities, extracurricular activities, athletics. I heard Manu Ginobili's finally shutting it down after, how long has it been? God, it seems like Manu's been playing for 20 years. Manu's been around since the Stone Ages. You're talking the 57th overall pick in the 1999 draft. A lot of you weren't even alive. A lot of you don't even really know Manu from back in the day.
Ginobili.
Sounds like an Italian sandwich. Can I have a Ginobili with cheese, please? Hats off on an excellent career. 5 championships. He won a fucking gold medal. I mean, the guy, I think, I've always said this, and people knock me. If you put Manu on any other team, you put him on his own team, he's like 25, 5-5 guy, easily. But he played with 3 other Hall of Famers, you know. So, I don't know. I don't know if he gets to the Hall. I mean, I know he gets to the Hall. I just don't know if he gets his just due. You know, 2 other Hall of Famers. Excuse me. He had Tony Parker and he had Tim Duncan. Arguably the greatest power forward ever. It's either him or Malone. But hats off on a great career for Manu freaking Ginobili. He finishes with career averages of 14, 4, and basically 4. 42% from the field. I think it might be 43%. But the stats don't tell the whole story. I mean, there was a time where you couldn't stop Manu. You literally couldn't. It didn't matter who you put in front of him. There's nothing you could do. Nothing at all. I mean, that's how good he was. I just remember watching Manu, and I'd get so frustrated because I didn't like the Spurs. Who did? Boring-ass team. You know, who liked the Spurs? The big fundamentals. That's what they were. You know. But you'd watch them, and there was nothing you could do. When Manu was on, it didn't matter. He was going to drop it like it's hot. And he was going to put in work. And the Spurs were probably going to win. Every single freaking time. I mean, they weren't the most exciting team. That's an understatement. I mean, they were pretty freaking boring back in the day. But needless to say, they put in work. He's had a great career. He's no doubt he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. The next one in line, I don't know if Tony Parker's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know. I mean, by point guard, you have to put Tony Parker in, but he's 15-5 for his career. You know, not really spectacular numbers, but he's part of 5 championship teams. I mean, Tim Duncan, obviously. Tim Duncan's a no-brainer. Kawhi Leonard's no longer a Spur, which is crazy. Well, we'll get into that another time. Okay, so we got the 4th week of preseason coming up. Ah, God. Just shoot me now. These games usually suck. You know, they just hurry these guys out here. Most of them are going to be working at the grocery store next week, or they're just not going to be in the league. But there's a couple names that I'm really rooting for. I mean, everybody has that guy from college that you want to make the NFL, but deep down you know he's not going to make the NFL. Remember Reggie Ball from back in the day from Georgia Tech? you know, scrub players like that. Reggie Ball.
Reggie.
You know, there's players like that that you're rooting for. Like Rashawn Scott from the Dolphins, Malcolm Lewis. I mean, those two are probably not going to stick. You know, my boy Brad Kaya has already been cut. This is like the eighth time in two seasons. That kid really pisses me off. Everyone told that idiot to come back and stay one more season. He needed it. And what does he do? He goes pro. He gets drafted in the sixth round. And he can't even stick on a practice squad. That's how good the NFL is. You know, this kid was one of the top-rated high school quarterbacks. He was in Elite 11. He started for the U. And he can't even make it on a practice squad. It just really makes you think. So we got the last preseason games. I don't know if I'll watch because college kicks off this week. So the slate of games starts Thursday. Several games I'm looking at with the college slate. Obviously, the U, you know, taking on LSU at Jerry World. So I'm hoping Miami can come out, lay the smacketh down on that candy ass. I'm tired of LSU. I'm tired of their fans running their mouth. You know, you didn't win shit under Les Miles. You know, you won one, but you were a two- or three-loss team that year. You shouldn't even have gone. Since then, you guys have been awful. So shut your mouth. You know, Michigan takes on Notre Dame. The Shea Patterson era starts. I'm pretty excited for that. I think Shea is going to be the real deal. I don't think they have a choice this year. They got to beat the Buckeyes. You know, and if you're a Buckeye fan, I'm sorry. Not really, but Urban Meyer should have been canned. Urban Meyer's a scumbag. A lot of things I can tolerate. Beating women isn't one of them. You know, selling tattoos, I don't care. You know, Terrell Pryor shouldn't have got anything for that. Jim Tressel shouldn't have been run for that. But I can't go back in the past. What we can't control is now, and Urban Meyer just got a smack on the wrist for something he knew about, something blatant. You know, he should sit it down. I mean, three games, they got Tulane in that stretch. I think they're playing the YMCA, and then they got TCU. So he's allowed to be on the sidelines during practice. Oh, what a harsh punishment that is.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
I mean, come on. He's allowed to interact with the team all throughout the week. He just can't be on the field Saturday. Is that what you're telling me? Just awful. I mean, where are we as a society? Actually, don't answer that, because I know where we are. I know where we are, and it makes me sick. You know, any certain other schools, the program would be shut down. But Ohio State gets a pass, like always. They always get a pass. Ohio State can do no wrong. They can do no wrong. You know, and I predicted that. I didn't think Urban was going to get canned because, I mean, look at his record. He has like three losses in like 2 years. I mean, the guy can coach, but he's a scumbag. So we got the college slate going on. Really pulling for the Wolverines this year. Obviously, I'm a huge Miami fan. But I just don't know if anybody can beat Bama. I mean, it's the same story every year. You already know it.
It's literally the same story every year. Every single year.
You know, it's basically an NFL team that's playing in college. They do everything better. You know, Skip Bayless said that Saban's overrated. Where does Skip come up with this stuff? Like, how do you say that? A guy with 6 national titles, countless All-Americans. He's won the SEC basically every year. I mean, how do you say that Nick Saban is overrated? I don't know if you guys are watching that show on ESPN, Training Days or whatever it's called. Training Wheels, we'll call it.
On an all-new Training Wheels, find out if Alabama has any adversity. Because their third string could start basically anywhere in the land.
So it shows, I mean, these guys are treated like professional athletes. Their facilities are phenomenal. They just have the best of everything. They're just a winning culture. You know, there's the Yankee way, there's the Patriot way, and there's the Alabama way. When you come to Alabama, you're going to win. And that's how it should be. I mean, do I think they're paying players? Probably. I mean, but I think everybody's paying players. I mean, people are driving around with Range Rovers, and they're fucking 19 years old. But there's no way to prove that. That's all opinion. So don't jump down my fucking throat about it. All opinion. So we got college starting. Really excited about that. NFL should be in 2 weeks, so start getting your fantasy roster in order. I'm taking David Johnson first in most drafts. I just think David Johnson is getting slept on. You know, I know he hurt his wrist last year, but before that, I mean, he had Marshall Faulk type numbers. He can catch, he can run, he can block. He's a triple threat. He's a three-down back who can do everything. You know, in terms of my outlook this season for pro football, I don't know who I'm taking. I think I got the Steelers doing well. And in the NFC, I don't have anybody. It's pretty much wide open. I think the Giants will be better. I think Philly could be good if they get Wentz back. Nick Foles has been a bum. He's been an absolute fucking bum. 10 possessions, shit. That's what they should put on his stats for the preseason. 10 possessions and shit. Hasn't done jack shit. Sit down, Nick Foles. You gotta be kidding me. Gotta be kidding me. 10 possessions and nothing? The hell's wrong with you? You can't do anything. It'll be interesting to see what the Ravens do with the quarterback situation. Flacco's had a great preseason, a great camp. But Lamar's really interesting. And why is it always the scramblers have to be polarizing? Why is that? I mean, the guy has athleticism for days. Second and on speed-wise. He'll learn how to throw. It's a learning curve. It's going to take a little bit. I think Lamar Jackson, when it's all said and done, is going to be the best quarterback out of this class. And I know that's absolutely crazy. But that's just my opinion. I think Baker's going to be the second best. Darnold's going to be third. I think there's going to be three of them that are really good. I think Rosen's going to be a bum. He's going to be an absolute bum. And I think Josh Allen's going to be a bum. You know, Sam Darnold's going to be good. He's going to throw a lot of picks. Baker's going to have great accuracy. Durability is the concern with Mayfield. I think Lamar just makes me excited to watch football. NFL football, it's all the same shit. It's all the same offenses. It's all the same shit. He brings an element to the game that is exciting and makes you want to sit down on a Sunday when it's 75 out and watch the game. That's what scramblers do. You know, all you old-fashioned idiots who like pocket passers. Cool. You're right. Pocket passers win Super Bowls. They're not exciting, though. Andy Dalton is like, watching him is like watching paint dry. Dak Prescott, check down Dak with his 4-yard dink and dunk passes. You know, Dak will finish the game 15 for 20, you know, 198 yards, one touchdown, zero picks, and it'll be the most boring thing you'll see. Sam Darnold's going to throw for 400 yards, two touchdowns, three interceptions, but that shit's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. There's just certain guys that are exciting. You know, Lamar Jackson just spells excitement. You know, he's great. He's great at what he does. And he's fast, man. That kid can move. So I'm hoping he develops and he does his thing. And, you know, I'm hoping it's a good NFL season. I know we still got the anthem crap that's going on. You know, everybody's upset about that. Whether people sit or stand or if we're showing the anthem, if we're not. I'm not going to get into that. Everybody already has an opinion on it. I personally don't care. I just don't understand why patriotism is tied to sports. Yeah, I wasn't going to touch on it, but now I am. You know, now I am. Why is patriotism tied to sports? Why is it tied to athletics? You know, why do I have to stand for the national anthem at a sporting event? How come when you're at the opera or a play, they don't play the national anthem before the performance? How is that any fucking different? You know, how come they don't play it at the grocery store? You know, you're in the fucking produce aisle looking at some fucking package of apples. Why aren't they playing the national anthem? I will say this. At SeaWorld, they play the national anthem before the killer whale shows. They actually play the national anthem at SeaWorld and honor the veterans. No problem honoring the veterans. I just don't understand why at SeaWorld. I'm watching a bunch of whales jump out of a tank. Why does that mean patriotism? Why at an athletic event where they're chasing a ball do we have to honor the military and everybody else? It's not that I have a problem with it. I always have stood for the anthem. It's second nature. I just don't understand why we have to do it. Like, what is it about sports? You know, and how come we don't honor anybody else? Yes, the military does a lot of great things. They defend our asses. But why don't we have a moment where we honor teachers? You know, why don't we stand up and remove our hats and give a moment of silence for teachers? Who literally put their life on the line now because of all the school shootings. You know, why don't we stand up and remove our hats for all the hospital workers who save people every day? Or why don't we stand up and remove our hats for firefighters? They save people's asses all the time. Why is it only the troops? I know they make the ultimate sacrifice, but they're not the only one. There's been like 150 billion school shootings this year. I'm pretty sure some teachers died in the line of protecting their students. Why aren't they honored? Why is patriotism tied to athletics? That's my question. A good answer would help, honestly. You know, why are we obligated to stand for the anthem at a sporting event? An event that has nothing to do with patriotism. I mean, you go to watch football, you go to watch football. You don't go there to think about political shit. I got into sports to get away from politics. You know? And I'm not faulting you if you side one way or the other. I'm not. You know, you're entitled to your opinion. You know, you're going to do what you're going to do, and I'm not going to change your mind. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to ask you why patriotism is tied to sports. That's it. That's the only question. I'm not saying I'm not going to sit for the anthem. I was raised to stand, but that's my personal thing. I totally understand why people sit, why they sit down. And I understand why people stand up. They're proud. You know? I want that question answered. And why can't one of these dirtbag owners answer that for me? Or a dirtbag commissioner, Roger Goodell. So it's going to be an interesting season. You know, I hope this doesn't get in the way of the game, but I have a feeling it will. And I'm hoping the Browns can win 6 games. I'm hoping the Browns can go to the playoffs. That'd be great. The Browns in the playoffs? We're lucky if we can win a game. Playoffs? We're in here talking about playoffs. It'd be great if the Browns could turn it around. But so far, Greg Williams is a loose cannon. Todd Haley is a complete idiot. Hugh Jackson is happy-go-lucky. I don't see it. 4 wins, maybe. You know? They beat the Eagles 5-0 in a preseason game. 5-0. If I were them, I'd bring in Des Bryant. I'd bring in Desiree. Why? It can't hurt. I'd stockpile as many players until we won. I'd bring in Kenny Britt, too. Jeremy Macklin's out there. I'd bring him in, too. I'd have Gordon Landry. I'd have Des Bryant. I'd have Macklin and Callaway. That'd be my receiving core with Njoku at tight end. And don't forget Dookie Johnson. You know, he's going to catch a lot out of the backfield. They got 3 backs that all can play. All can run well. You know, it seems like a shithead culture there. And that's what scares me. Like, who's driving that boss? Is it Hugh? Is it Toddy? You know, is it Greggy? Who is it? That's what I want to know. Hard Knocks has been great. They always make it great. But when was the last team who was on Hard Knocks? When was the last time a team on Hard Knocks made the playoffs?
Playoffs?
When? When was the last time they won a lot of games?
We're lucky if we can win a game. Playoffs? Playoffs?
It doesn't happen. You know, they don't put you on Hard Knocks for being great. I'd love to see the Patriots on Hard Knocks. And somebody check Bill Belichick and tell him to shut his fucking mouth.